You're listening to SBS News.
Australia's Malaysian-born Foreign Minister Penny Wong is often celebrated as a fine example of the success of Australia's multicultural society. And since winning government in May, Penny Wong has made it clear that she wants to reframe Australia's image to the world in that light. In an official visit to the country of her birth in June, she spelled out her vision in a speech at the Australian High Commission in Kuala Lumpur.
My heritage is one of the 270 ancestries now represented in Australia. Half of our population was born overseas or has a parent born overseas. And we will be reflecting this rich character back to the world so the world can see itself in our country because we share common ground. And the time has come for Australia's full story to be told, our modern diversity and the rich heritage of our First Nations peoples.
It's these comments that have prompted a discussion at the Lowy Institute about the role of multiculturalism in Australia's foreign policy. Experts on the panel agree that Australia has come a long way since federal governments moved away from the racist White Australia policy and first adopted an official multicultural platform in the 1970s. But former Australian diplomat Jason Chai, who now works for Cochlear Asia Pacific, says much about societal attitudes to multiculturalism remains largely superficial.
I don't want to be too glib about it, but aside from MasterChef, I don't think any Australian institution has really took representation seriously. But I'm very optimistic about where the future holds. We've just elected a Prime Minister who was raised in Camperdown Flats with an Italian name, with an Italian father and Australian mother. We've just seen those images of Foreign Minister Penny Wong visiting her hometown in Kota Kinabalu in Sabah, incidentally, the place of my father's birth as well. And we can see very clearly that there is a genuine interest in engaging and talking about the multicultural story.
The panel members have applauded the unprecedented levels of diversity in the 47th Parliament, but they point out that senior leadership in many Australian institutions remains largely white and male, including at ASX-listed companies and universities. Professor Fethi Mansouri is the founding director of the Alfred Deakin Institute for Citizenship and Globalisation at Deakin University. He says until Australia changes at home, it will fail to project the image at once to the world.
And multicultural society is a very descriptive label. We are here diverse, ethnically, racially, religiously, whatever. But a multicultural state is a state that functions in a way that reflects the ethos of diversity. That is inclusion, respect, equitable respect, mm-hmm. which means respect for diversity in a way that allows people the space to operate as different individuals. I don't think we are there yet because it is seriously a societal project. Mm. It is not a political leader project, even though leadership is extremely important. So, yes, we are making very, very slow progress in terms of the demographic face of our parliament. Mm. But no, the road is long and arduous. And I would add, requires very courageous leadership.
Melissa Phillips from Western Sydney University says more could be done to engage multicultural communities in Australia in the development of foreign policy. She says many members of diaspora communities remain actively involved in the politics and society of their home countries. She's given examples of migrants from Myanmar involved in homeland activism or Pacific Islanders who send money back home.
Now, instead of a Penny Wong jetting around the South Pacific, trying to get information and intelligence. Here we go. We've got diaspora communities that are sitting there actively engaged, and they're an incredible source of information, advice, advocacy that we can tap into. So for me, it's there, it's happening. We are often slow to recognise the realities of our multicultural communities. And this is a huge asset of diasporas that we continue to just overlook And as I said, we do so at our peril.
Jason Chai has outlined two areas where he believes investment and attention could have a big influence on foreign policy. The first is by improving engagement with international students. He's commended exchange programs like the New Colombo Plan, but says more could be done at home.
We have international students coming here every day, and while it is very hard to engage with it, I think we should put more effort into it and reflect this diversity and this inclusive and engaging kind of behaviour with them. We don't need to read out lines to them about what Australia is. They live it. They live it every single day. And when they go back to their country, they can be great ambassadors, great advocates for Australia when they go back to their own countries.
And the second is through appointments at the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade, or DFAT.
I think that there has been a marked shift in terms of appointing ambassadors who have the skill sets in both terms of language, but then there's also people of cultural backgrounds which are now being represented overseas. The pool and depth of talent within DFAT is deep, but the ladder up is very, very narrow. If you are serious about a foreign policy that is going to be engaging and take on some of these very big issues overseas, then you need to resource DFAT appropriately to actually do that and give more people opportunity to step up.
The panellists have also called for better funding of multicultural governance initiatives away from resourcing cultural and community events. And they've made the case for multicultural policy to be better enshrined in Australian law. Fethi Mansouri says despite lobbying for a federal multicultural act, it still hasn't happened. The panellists have also pointed out that most diaspora communities are as diverse as Australia itself and should be treated as such. But Jason Chai says overall he's optimistic about the direction Australia is taking to multiculturalism. He's given the example of a group of visiting journalists from South Korea to Cochlear, New South Wales, where they met Erin, a 9-year-old deaf girl born to South Korean parents who were studying in South Australia.
Now, I think that's a really powerful point, that Australia is different and is inclusive and gives these people a new opportunity in life. And when these journals went back to South Korea, they wrote stories about Erin because in a very subtle way, they were able to convey what Australia actually represents, a fair go, that we don't leave anyone behind, that no matter where you're from, you'll be taken care of.
Claire Slattery, SBS News.